Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I logged on, and there was a caller here that was asking some questions about her love life. So I'm going to finish up with her. Her name is Alfina, wonderful name. And then we'll get right into the superhumans and how you can become a superhuman. Thank you all for joining us. Hello, Gia. Nice to see you. And I'll just tell the people for a minute. Alfina has been with a guy for a while and is not sure if she should stick with him. So I'm asking her questions about, you know, what's going on with the relationship. It feels like you guys are very connected, but it feels like there's something that is not necessarily enough for you. There's something that's lacking. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't necessarily say lacking. It's more of I've been wanting marriage for quite some time now, like legally. We already feel like we're married and stuff, but I would just like to do that, and I don't really want to pressure him or push him into it. At this point, he kind of knows what I want.
Mm-hmm. All right, because it's a very interesting, I mean, she asked if I did psychic readings, and I don't really do psychic readings, but I do use the cards, but I do feel things, you know, with people. So it's funny to say this, but I feel like it needs a little bit more time. Like, because right now, astrologically, everything is about to move forward that we've all been waiting for a really long time. So especially in the last few weeks of July and then beyond, it's a whole different astrological configuration. So to give it a little bit of time, I would say at least through the summer, maybe the fall, to really see. And if you don't see major growth in that time, then I would maybe, you know, strengthen yourself and start looking around just to see, you know, if there's something else that the universe is presenting to you that may be more along the lines of what you're looking for. But I do feel like you guys have a strong connection, and I do feel like it could work out. It's just something needs to sort of catapult forward. And I do feel like something's going to happen. And I feel like money, something in money is actually going to spring forward for one or both of you. So I would just give it a minute. But in the meantime, she got, her first card was the Power of Joy. And the last card is Choose Peace. So I would definitely work on your own self-love and enjoying yourself, and that will give him more room to sort of deal with what he's dealing with and recognize how important you are to him. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Nice. You are very welcome. I'm going to mute you. Are you in the chat room as well?
No.
Okay. Well, if you want to listen in, you can. You'll leave your call on, but thank you so much for calling in. And also, we do have a resident psychic that works with us. If you want to email me, are you on Facebook?
No, I don't have Facebook.
Okay. Well, you can send me an email to my private email. It's nicole.tomasini, T-O-M-A-S-S-I-N-I. Do you want me to say that again?
Can you spell that again?
Sure.
Yeah.
Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E dot Tomasini, T-O-M-A-S-S-I-N-I at gmail.com. And I can put you in touch with our psychic Diane, who's wonderful and can give you some more insight.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for calling. Have a great day and good luck with everything.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right. So that was fun. I love it when people just call in. Let's start out with our little song here that I thought incorporated the feeling of superheroes and superhumans. So here we go.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
You wrote in the chat room, crazy music. I was like, too loud. You never know how these recordings are going to come through. But I just love that song. It gets me really motivated, and the lyrics are great with Welcome to the New Age, because whether we like it or not, we are definitely becoming somewhat radioactive, are we not? You kind of can't help it between all the cell phones and the, you know, satellites and everything, the GPS and microwaves. So it is the new age. It's a radioactive age. And I think that's part of us evolving and being able to not only survive, but thrive in a new world that includes so much technology and helps us, we have to incorporate the whole thing, don't we? I mean, it is the world of inclusion. So let's see what kind of superhumans we can become. I believe that we have so much potential and so much power locked in our brains, and it's a matter of tapping into it, focusing on it, and using it to our abilities, as well as looking at our unique talents that we have that you may not classify as a superpower, but it is. Some people can add really well. I'm terrible at it. So when someone can add fast, I think it's amazing. But, you know, certain things have to give way to other things. I don't know if they have to give way, but I think we've given them way, you know, we kind of choose at this point. But, you know, there are certain things that you know you're very good at and other people may not be. One of mine is being able to see things. It's just natural. I just see everything that's happening around me. I see what people look like and can remember, and I can go back in my head if I have a cue point. Like a point where somebody says, oh, remember that time where we went to that place and we were with these people? I can go back there in my brain and see the entire space and see them and even tap into some of the conversations that had happened. So I think of those as superpowers. I can't smell very well. I think that's from living in the city, though, all my life. And not wanting to smell a lot of the smells around. So I think that was a conscious choice, which you can also kind of see as a superpower, being able to turn things off. I mean, if you live in a city, it's, you know, it can be overwhelming if you have a strong sense of smell. So sometimes it's a little better to have selective seeing, hearing, tasting, things like that. So let's talk about a little bit of these amazing things that people are doing lately. I'm going to turn off the air conditioner because that might help with the sound. One second. All right. I did some research, and here's a few of the amazing things that people are doing. Stan Lee, who wrote Spider-Man and many other comics, he did a series about superhumans, and it's very fascinating to watch. So I'll just name a few, and so you know what's out there and what's possible. So there's a guy who was born legally blind, and he can see with his mind. I was just watching this before the show. Incredible. He wears a blindfold, even though he can't see out of his eyes anyway, and he knows where objects are, and he even caught a ball, and he went into a completely dark room and could find objects, could describe them, the color, the shape, and, I mean, nobody can explain it. But that's happening, and that's pretty cool. It's amazing when certain senses are taken away, the amazing things that people will do to compensate. Another one is echolocation, which is what dolphins use and bats. And humans are using it now too, using clicking sounds to see what's around them and where objects are, how dense they are, just from the sounds. So that's pretty awesome. And then there was one woman who had immortal cells, cells that can divide indefinitely outside of the human body, defying the Hayflick limit. I was going to look that up, what the Hayflick limit is. But it's probably something where it can only divide so many times when it's sitting in a petri dish, I would imagine. But her name was Henrietta Lacks. And so it just goes to show you that anything's possible. Then there's a guy who is unaffected by cold, just can be in extremely cold temperatures. People would die and would get hypothermia, but nothing happens to him. And he says it's the easiest thing he could possibly do. It's just the way his body works, and he wants to be in the cold. And then you have people who have total recall or a photographic memory, or people that have perfect pitch, that they can hum a note or a song. It's funny. I was told that I had perfect pitch, and then some guy came in and he was like, "Oh, you have perfect pitch? Well, so hum like a G flat." And I was like, "Yeah, it doesn't work like that, because even though I played piano, like, I didn't really pay attention like that as to what was what. But I can start a song that I know well exactly where it is and the pitch it is, and I know that it's wrong if I started somewhere else." So and apparently 3% of the general population in the U.S. have that, and 8% in Europe, which I think is very interesting. I wonder if it's all that classical music, that vibration that's over there in Europe. I don't know. That's just a guess. But and then you have mental calculators, people who are autistic savants. There's less than 100 in the world. And some develop this ability later in life, usually due to a head trauma, which is where a lot of these things come from, which is also interesting, like getting smacked in the head so that things turn on all of a sudden. Very interesting. And then also these people, synesthesia, I think is how you say it, They associate numbers or letters with colors or tastes, which I think is such an interesting cross-pollination in the head. So those are some things that these incredible quote-unquote people do, and I'm sure there are so many others, people that can, then the metal attaches to them and they can conduct electricity and they can eat metal and all kinds of things that should never be in the human body. So, but I'll add to that a list of things that I think are superhuman: psychic predictions. I mean, where does that come from? And people who are really strong at psychic predictions. I mean, you can say what I just said to the to Alfina that was on, you know, that's a psychic prediction. But that I wouldn't really call that a prediction. That's the feeling of what's happening now. Like, I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen. But some people really have that ability, or dreams of the future. They dream something and it happens. Has that ever happened to you, Gia? Type in if it has. Because that's, or if you dream something and then later on you're like, oh, I've been here in my dreams. I think that's an incredible ability. Along with astral traveling, when you go places in your dreams and you're in these places. I mean, that's something that I've been working with lately. It seems to just be happening. I mean, can I control it? No. But I seem to be pretty good at just going into it. I'm a pretty good sleeper, though. So I'd be interested to hear if anyone else has that. Gia says, head injury plus Gwen's augury and dream time and other stuff. Oh, interesting. You had a head injury, too. So what happened, like what opened up with the head injury? I think that's so interesting. I know I keep saying the word interesting, but yeah. So astral projecting and lucid dreaming, when you're like, you go into a dream and you can become conscious that yes, I'm in a dream and I can do all kinds of things. I can fly. I can bend the rules of reality because this is a different kind of reality. And they say that one of the best ways to learn lucid dreaming is to fall asleep with the intention that once you are asleep, you will look at your hands or your feet. And I've tried it a few times. I think I kind of almost made it one time, and then I kind of just lost interest because it wasn't – I already have, you know, vivid dreams, so it wasn't that important to me. But a lot of people can unlock a lot of things in their dreams. And by using that dream state, I'm going to talk later about the pineal gland or pineal gland that has a lot to do with unleashing these things in ourselves. And it also has to do with dreaming. So dreaming as a superhuman feat, what you can do in your dream time. Gia says, yeah, very vivid dreamer, love my dreams most of the time, though now they are aberrate reality. Aberrate. I don't know that word. yeah, so exploring your dreams and seeing what you can do there. And even if you've never done it before, even just using a dreaming diary or journal definitely helps. There's something that happens in your brain when you go to sleep and you have placed a piece of paper and a pencil there and you say to yourself, okay, I am going to sleep. And when I wake up, I intend to write down everything I can recall from my dream. And within a day, 3 days, you'll start to recall more. Something switches on that tells your brain that you're paying attention and having the physical backup, I know there's a better word, but backup, reiteration, what is it? Anyway, to have that, the piece of paper and the pencil there is very helpful. So yeah, explore your dreams. How about rapid physical healing? Oh, I see. Gia says, took a lot of acid each time, lots of real adventures as well to prove boundary non-existence. There you go. Well, that'll definitely open up your reality. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to find, you know, good LSD these days, but that is one way in the ayahuasca to open up all kinds of things. You never know what kind of abilities are lying dormant in there. Like rapid physical healing. You know some people that they either never seem to be sick, or if they're sick, they're only down for a day. You know, their cuts heal fast, these kinds of things. And I think this kind of a healing, all of us can do. We just have to remember we can do it. I know genetics, blah, blah, blah. But again, I think that's part of the programming that they say, oh, well, if your parents were this, then you're going to be this too. Well, all right, maybe, but not necessarily. You didn't get everything. And some people can make different choices and become different things. So to free yourself from that pigeonhole of what was, will always be, and affects you too. That's probably one of the first steps to unlocking your superhumanness is to tell yourself that you can, that it's possible, that you can do this. And that's a whole spirit therapy session in itself, because, you know, you can say the mantras and tell yourself these things, but there has to be some sort of a belief. You have to show yourself something. You have to prove something to yourself before you really start to believe that this is what's going on. But it has to start somewhere with unlocking yourself. So see what you're good at and see what you're not so good at, and see if what you're good at you can focus in and hone some skills. And then what you're not good at, maybe you can get a little better at it, and maybe that unlocks something. But this physical healing, I think, is a very important thing for us all to look at, because these days there's so much rhetoric about being sick. Half of your commercials are either trying to sell you a drug or telling you that, you know, you're going to lose limbs and all these things if you do this one, and, you know, diabetes or smoking or any of those things. And it's amazing that these are actually allowed, because, first of all, it's programming you to think that you have to be sick. And it's also blocking you from your own internal healing. And they say that, you know, putting smoking kills on cigarettes actually makes them sell more cigarettes. It's a marketing tool. And if you're not buying the cigarettes, then you're buying the anti-smoking things. And that's money-making as well. And if none of those work and you keep doing it and you think that you're going to get sick, then they get you with the hospital bills and doctors and all of these things. So for us to separate ourselves from this ridiculous programming and see it for what it is. I mean, once you wake up to what it is, you can't unlearn it. You're just like, okay, Babylon, I see what you're just trying to make money off of me. So, and then the flip side is learning to heal yourself. And it's, I want to say it's not that hard. It can be hard because it's reprogramming, but it's really just saying, okay, can I heal myself? If I have a sore throat, sometimes when we're sick, we tense up and it becomes a thing. And part of it is we're, oh my God, I don't want to get sick. Oh, and you tense up. And so you're holding it there. Like there's no circulation. So if you can take a moment to just relax and go, okay, my throat is not quite what it should be, kind of hurts. Can I remember what it feels like when it doesn't hurt? Can I make it not hurt? Can I feel it being well? These kinds of things to reach for. And then, all right, you know, maybe you still have to go to the doctor. Maybe you still, you know, maybe you do a regimen of some holistic things like honey and lemon and some herbs, you know, a gypsy cold care tea can do wonders, but your attitude has a lot to do with it. And if you're trying not to get sick, you're not helping the situation. You just have to relax into it and go, okay, I am looking at wellness. I remember what wellness is. Let's go towards wellness. And practice. It takes a little bit of practice. I've been doing it for a few years now, and it definitely helps. It's like learning anything. You know, like riding a bike, you're going to fall off a few times, but eventually you get some nice momentum going. And then, let's see, Gia said some more things. Change the inner dialogue when it starts. Exactly. Actively doing that, it changes you. I think physical can be actually like that. However, something may have been neglected and turned into a problem that kicks you to the med people. Sure. And also the fact that your body is trying to tell you something. It's not just getting sick just for the sake of getting sick. Usually it's telling you something, like a sore throat. Something, is there something you're not saying? Is there something that you want to express and you haven't? Do you feel, you know, stifled? Ask yourself those questions when something like that comes up. If you have back problems, lower back is all about money woes and worry. The middle of your back is about holding somebody, like hurt your heart and having to carry that around. And then the top is just carrying too much, you know, having the world on your shoulders and having the strength to stand in yourself instead of feeling beaten down. So, you know, looking at what the body is telling you while also, yeah, if you got to go to the medical people, then go to the medical people, whatever it takes to make you feel better. But definitely to look at being able to heal yourself without them for the new paradigm in the new age. So, and also things like extreme flexibility. You may not know how flexible you are until you try. And if you are flexible, I'm pretty flexible, but if I don't do all kinds of flexibility things, I really get crickety and stuck. So using whatever your body does, if you have great strength, you know, using that strength, using the strength in different ways and seeing what else you can do. So pushing the limits of where your superhumanness is, starting from either something you're good at or something you're not good at, and seeing if you can take it to a different level or a new understanding. And also interconnectedness with people, like twins that feel each other's pain, or mothers that know that like something has happened. I mean, that's pretty incredible too. And the twin research is something else. I mean, what is that about, really? The fact that especially like identical twins, they can, I had a couple friends that were, they thought they were identical, but here you go. Here's something for the brain. They thought their whole life they were identical, then to find out that they were fraternal because something about their placenta was destroyed when they were born, and then they went in for a twin study, and then they couldn't do the study because they ended up, they were like, no, you're actually fraternal. And they did, when I couldn't tell them apart during high school very well, but when they got older, they started to look different. But they had that too. They would feel when the other was going to call, when something went well, when something, when they hurt themselves, the other one. So, and is that because they thought that they were identical, or that's just the twin thing? You know, that mindset can make a big difference in, it's like, well, we thought we were identical, so we thought that we could communicate that way. And then they do. So I think this is going to be a reoccurring theme during this talk of, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Like flying, apparently, we did know how to fly. We could fly at some point. There was something that happened and we forgot. We seem to have forgotten a lot of things. So it's about the remembering how awesome we really are. And then how about people that can see and communicate with ghosts? I think that's pretty awesome. And spirits, magic carpets, Kia says. Exactly. I think I saw maybe an Ancient Aliens or something that said that there was such a thing as a magic carpet. Why not? You know, people will be like, oh, come on, magic carpet. Well, again, that's what they want you to think. They want you to go, oh, no, that's impossible. All right, so now that's the end of magic carpets, I guess. That's it? Like, that's all it took, was somebody telling you no, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, that's ridiculous. Right? So, yeah, lightening up and thinking, even just that thought of knowing that at some point we could fly and some point we could heal ourselves instantly. And at some point we could do all, you know, connect with spirits and have telepathy. Why not? That's why we all love shows about it. It's definitely a part of us. So let's talk about ways that you can tap into this. And then later on, when I take a little bit of a break, I'm going to play an interview from Bruce Lee, 5 minutes. And it's just tidbits of certain philosophies that go right along with this. But let's talk about the pineal or pineal gland, because that seems to be where a lot of this comes from. And it's so connected to our consciousness and our spirit, and it sits directly in the center of the brain, and it's a tiny little pea, and it connects to your entire brain, your eyes, your ears. It also helps you to dream, is connected with control of your weight, your endocrine system, which is all the other organs, and your brain throughout the body connects everything. And our water and our toothpaste have fluoride in it, a lot of it, and fluoride calcifies your pineal gland, and it dampens it and disconnects the receiver from our higher outer consciousness and also things that it can do in the body to heal ourselves. So, I mean, you think that it's not Babylon's finger in it? Of course. Why is there so much fluoride everywhere? Why? To try to dampen us down. Of course. I mean, that's how you make sheep. That's what they wanted us to be. Not to get all political, but, you know, I think this is a spiritual conversation as well. I mean, it's just what's happening. It's part of the reality. You don't have to feel all kinds of ways about it. But if you know it, then you know how to work around it. Get a water filter. Get some toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it. A little bit is all right, but we have way too much, and it's in all kinds of things. So there are things that you can do. Also, I found that stopping drinking milk made a huge difference in opening up my consciousness. It doesn't mean that I don't have cheese or I'm not a big ice cream person, but I would still have it. But I just don't drink milk. And because milk, you don't really get the calcium that you need because you don't have four stomachs. It's made for a cow, and cows can break it all down through its four stomachs. We don't. So you're not really even getting the benefits. You never tried milk, Gia? Is that what you mean? Yeah, so I found that within like a week, my consciousness was on another level. And then within 3 weeks and a few months, it's like I would never go back. And then it starts to bother my stomach if I just drink the milk. So that's another thing. But to do things and to do some research on how to decalcify your pineal gland and how to cleanse it, I found a recipe for a detox, a pineal gland detox that helps to peel off the layers of calcification. Well, actually, one thing is also the skate liver oil. It's a form of fish oil, so apparently that also helps. The oil helps to undo the toxic layers. but the juice, the concoction, is kale, apple, cucumber, lemon, and apple cider vinegar. And apple cider vinegar, my father swore by it. It's great for the brain and the body. It's a natural detoxifier. Again, if you're sick, he used to make me a concoction of apple cider vinegar with maple syrup and lemon and water. And it tasted great, and you can feel it, like, just seeping in there and getting in there. So that's a great thing. the apple cider vinegar, and you can find it anywhere. Any health food store has it. Bragg's makes a nice one. So, yeah, so that I'm going to actually try this juice as soon as possible. It's 3 leaves of kale, 1 apple, 1 cucumber, and 1 lemon, and 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. You don't want to overdo it because, you know, it still is vinegar, so you need a little bit of sweetness. But, you know, that's something that they said that you can do it every day. Maybe do it every day for a week and see what happens. Kia wrote, fish oil, no. I'm not doing that. No, no, no. I have a lot of friends that take it, and I've kind of dabbled around it. But, I, you know, as an Italian, I kind of think that I have so much oil, and I do eat a lot of fish. I don't know. I guess really that's part of it. We really need to supplement a lot of our foods because those are also dampened down. One thing that was on the list of things you should never eat was non-organic apples. I was like, oh, my God, they're messing with apples now, too. I mean, it was my natural instinct to go for the organic, but then I was like, oh, well, you know, what's the difference? It's an apple. Well, apparently, no, it's a huge difference. It's at the top of the list of having, like, major pesticides and all kinds of things. So all these things make our body not do what it can naturally do. And this is another way that you can unlock your superhuman powers is by detoxifying your body. You don't have to go crazy, but really just adding in some organic things, taking out the milk, regulating your fluoride, getting a water filter, and, you know, either taking some fish oils, apple cider vinegar, any of these things are great ways that you can unlock what your potential is on the inside. So there we go. That's a good chunk of it. So let's listen to the Bruce Lee interview for a minute. I told you last time that if you weren't interested and you're listening in the archives, I'd tell you how long it is. It's 5.5 minutes. But it moves along very quickly, and I think Bruce Lee is a superhero, also because of the focus that he did. I mean, just the fact that he could focus and train himself to do these things and not, like, break anything or, I mean, I'm sure he broke some things, but, you know, keep it going, keep going, and becoming who he became. That's superhero, and that's another form of being a superhero, being able to be truly yourself and everything that you really are, the inclusion of everything that you are. That's a superhuman. It's not that easy. So Bruce is going to talk about that for a minute. So let's do that while I take a short break.
To me, at least the way that when I teach it, all type of knowledge ultimately means self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they're coming in and ask me to teach them not so much of how to defend themselves or how to do somebody in. Rather, they want to learn to express themselves through some movement, be it anger, be it determination, or whatsoever. So in other words, what I'm saying, therefore, is that he is paying me to show him in combative form the art of expressing the human body.
Which is acting, in a sense, isn't it?
Well,
or it would be useful, too, for an actor to have those.
I mean, it might sound too philosophical, but it's acting or acting unacting, if you...
You've lost me.
I have. So what I'm saying, actually, you see, I mean, it's a combination of both. I mean, here is the natural instinct, and here is control. You are to combine the two in harmony. Not if you have one to the extreme, you will be very unscientific. If you have another to the extreme, you become all of a sudden a mechanical man, no longer a human being. So it is a successful combination of both. So therefore, it is not only, I mean, so therefore it's not pure naturalness or unnaturalness. The ideal is unnatural naturalness or natural unnaturalness. You see, actually, I do not teach, you know, karate because I do not believe in styles anymore. I mean, I do not believe that there is such thing as, like, Chinese way of fighting or the Japanese way of fighting or whatever way of fighting, because unless human beings have three arms and four legs, we will have a different form of fighting. Mm. But basically, we have only two hands and two feet. So styles tends to not only separate man, you know, because they have their own doctrines, and then the doctrine became the gospel truth, you know, that you cannot change, you know. But if you do not have styles, if you just say, well, here I am, you know, as a human being, how can I express myself totally and completely? Now, that way, you won't create a style, because style is a crystallization, you know. I mean, that way, it's a process of continuing growth.
You talk about Chinese boxing. How does it differ from, say, our kind of boxing?
Well, first, we use the feet.
Then
we use the elbow. And
you use the thumb, too.
You name it, man.
You use it all.
You have to, you see, because, I mean, that is the expression of the human body. I mean, everything. I mean, you know, not just the hand. And when you're talking about combat, well, I mean, if it is a sport, now you're talking about something else. You have regulations, you have rules. But when you're talking about fighting as it is, with no rules,
real fighting.
Well, then, baby, you better train every part of your body. And when you do punch, I'm leaning forward a little bit, hoping not to hurt any camera angle.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put the whole hip into it and snap it and get all your energy in there and make this into a weapon. Man, listen, you see, really, to me, ultimately, martial art means honestly expressing yourself. Now, it is very difficult to do. I mean, it is easy for me to put on a show and be cocky and be flooded with a cocky feeling and then feel like pretty cool and all that. Or I can make all kinds of phony things, you see what I mean, blinded by it. Or I can show you some really fancy movement. But to express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, you know, that, my friend, is very hard to do, and you have to train. You have to keep your reflexes so that when you want it, it's there. When you want to move, you're moving. And when you move, you are determined to move. Not taking 1 inch, not anything less than that. If I want to punch, I'm going to do it, man, and I'm going to do it, you see. So that is the type of thing you have to train yourself into it, to become one with the... I said, empty your mind. Be formless. Shapeless, like water. Now, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend, like that.
Do you still think of yourself Chinese, or do you ever think of yourself as North American?
You know what I want to think of myself? As a human being. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, as Confucius say, but under the sky, under the heaven, man, there is but one family. It just so happened, man, that people are different.
He really got it, didn't he? He really got it. Just want to be a human being, man. Just so happens that we all look different. I love it. So let's talk about a couple things that he brought up. The natural instinct versus the control. I think that's what we're talking about here with the superhumanness. It's taking a natural instinct. You're not going to work on something that's not interesting to you. And usually it's interesting to you because you're good at it. And so if you're good at it, then if you take the time and focus to cultivate it, then you start to learn control of it. It's like somebody who's very loving, but then can't stop the loving, just goes so far and can get themselves hurt. And then if somebody doesn't do what they think and the love is over, because let's face it, it happens, then they're crushed and can't get up from it. So there has to be some mode of control, but without becoming rigid and then in the love analogy, you know, not opening up to anybody. So finding that balance, once again, with the balance, finding that balance of natural instinct and control and working with what's natural and what's unnatural. You know, what have people told you is unnatural? I find that a lot of times with my workouts or certain things that I've been exploring with how my body moves, I was like, wow, I've always been told, like, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself, you know, you shouldn't go like this, don't ever put your body in this position, and it's just simply untrue. Of course, some positions are more precarious than others, so I do see why some teachers go, just don't do that, so that they don't get sued and people don't hurt themselves because they're pushing themselves too far. But again, it's that knowing yourself and learning your own control of your body when you realize that your body can move in so 360 degrees, has so many positions in it. We are not 3D for nothing, my people. We are movable parts. So just doing that and seeing what your body can do, and also seeing what your mind can do, even with something like putting your body into a position in Tai Chi, there's this basic movement that you learn for months. That's all you do when you're a serious Tai Chi person. It's called the mountain stance or the horse stance. And you're basically with your legs shoulder width apart, and you bend your knees a little bit and you tuck your butt under. So your entire spine is straight. Your knees are bent, but you're very relaxed and you're finding your position, the balance that's like really on the heel. And just to sit there, you know, what are you supposed to do with that? You just do it. You just get in that position and you stay there for as long as possible. And you'll see what your brain will do. I mean, 2 minutes can feel like an eternity. And then you're looking, oh, does this hurt my thighs? Is this hurting my thighs? Are my thighs hurting yet? Does it hurt yet? And then all you're doing is just manifesting something to happen because you think that that's how it's going to go. And it may be how it's going to go. But again, it gives you time to see what your mind is doing and seeing what is natural or unnatural for your body, which is not the same as what's natural or unnatural for other people's bodies, especially if you've been in it for a while, you know, 30, 40 plus years. You know, things have happened. You've gotten banged around a little bit. Gabe had a head injury. You know, I broke my leg when I was a kid. You know, knees, blah, blah, blah. Things happen. And so you have to learn a new type of balance, a balance that instead of having this, oh, well, I can't do this because this, there are ways that you can strengthen around it. Just like the brain is elastic, I believe that the body is also elastic. Of course, take your time and follow your own instincts. You know, I don't want people doing crazy things and going, well, Nicole told me. But, you know, that's where the control comes in, little by little. Easy does it. The card for this week, for this month, easy does it. Do it, but just do it easy, easy breezy, and see what's easiest for your body. And then that it's continuing growth. Bruce Lee was talking about styles and the rigidness of styles. You know, you can kind of say the same thing about religion or certain types of spirituality or any kind of style. This is my style. This is how I do it. Well, what would happen if you did it a little differently? What would happen if you added this in instead of that thing? You know, do a little creative. That's what all the new children these days, these indigo rainbow children, they're doing. They're combining all kinds of things together, like, you know, playing the guitar and, like, you know, while standing on one foot or playing it backwards or, you know, any of these wild combinations that you're just like, wow, man. It really is about incorporating more than one thing together. So if you're really good at something, see what happens if you do it while doing something else. And I talked about this before with starting something new, using your non-dominant hand. It's a whole new frontier you've got right there. Start see how you walk. See if you always start with the right foot. See if you can do it with your left foot. See if you can put your pants on with the opposite foot first. I heard somebody from The Secret talking about it. He was like, if we're creatures of habit, if I put my pants on right leg first, if I started with the left foot, I'd probably fall over. I was like, really? What is he, retarded? And then I tried it. I was like, oh, wow, it really is a habit that I have. Look at that. So you can explore those things and to help the brain with its elasticity, use it to its fullest potential. See what else it can do. Just using your left hand and just switching up your habits, your habitualness, your predictability, it makes your brain and your body go, oh, what's this? She wants this now? Okay. And then everything rushes to blood flow and muscles respond and brain cells connect and grow and become something else. And then when you do something enough, you get strong connections in the brain that are thick brain cells, that are synapses that are connected together. So it fires easier and you have more fluidness and it becomes faster. So if you're looking to become any kind of a superhuman, these are the ways to do it and to find what you like to express. He said it, Bruce Lee said it's about expressing yourself or being phony. And I think sometimes we may be being phony and not realize that it's phony. It's only phony, like we made it our own, but it's not really necessarily us. Our parents taught us that. Our best friend growing up did that. And we just assume that that's the only way or the best way to do something. But that's not necessarily true. So even just thinking outside of the box is a superhuman feat. Thinking up new directions and new ways. And what's important to you, you know, like working on, there's a few different paths that everyone's on, and we might not be looking to be able to run through ice and not feel any pain or become magnetized. It might not be our deal. But what are we working on? What's important to us? Is it our spiritual path, getting connected with our higher self and all the energies around us, working on a project, something that is, you know, dear to your heart and means a lot to you? Are you working on your physical body? Are you starting a new regimen or a new diet, something that's going to help you to awaken your body into superhuman functioning power? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we never had to go to the doctor again? Just by using the power of our mind and focusing a little bit on what we're eating and what we're doing with our physical and what we're thinking. And also parenting. I mean, you know, parenting, that's a huge superhuman feat. I mean, it's physically and mentally and emotionally thrilling and exhausting. And to be able to guide a little person through the world and not control too much, but also allow, you know, don't have them fall out of the building window, you know, takes some superhuman powers, really. And if you're really doing it well and you're really focused on it and you want to do the best you can do, tuning into yourself and doing all of these things for yourself, it's only going to make you a better parent. And it's also going to show the children what's really important in life, and they'll see. You don't have to say anything. What you do is far more important than what you say, always. And home. Are you a great homemaker? You know, that's a sanctuary. You're the keeper of a temple. If it's important to you to clean up and you have a superpower of cleanliness and orderliness, you know, as long as it doesn't take over and you don't become robotic and a slave to it, that's also a superpower. Why not? Because that keeps the brain flowing, and it's not cluttered by clutter. And there's a nice energy flow that's working on so many different levels. So having a super home is super human. And then love. I'll end with that. Love. Loving yourself and how you love. Are you loving a lot? You know, I gave that example earlier about loving too much. It's not really that it's too much love, because this whole world really needs a lot more love. So, you know, if you're loving and losing and getting hurt, well, you're a warrior. You know, how long you want to lick your wounds is up to you. But you're a warrior, because love and your heart, that's the most precious thing that we have. So learning how to be able to love to your fullest capacity and extent while not getting hurt too much and making it easy. And really that's about acceptance, you know, allowing, it's free will. Once you understand free will, acceptance, we're all one, it's much easier to love and lose, because you understand it's the flow of things and it's the way that things go. You know, people have their own path. It's not always parallel to yours. And that's really all that it is. So, and again, the last quote from Bruce Lee of, you know, do you think of yourself Chinese? And he said, I think of myself as a human. I want to be a human being. And so remember not only what color we are and what country we live in, but we're all superhumans just waiting to happen. I truly believe that. We are all superhumans happening, whether we're tuned into it or not. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening. Check out daughtersofisis.com for your tools on your journey. I didn't spray anything today. Interesting. I kind of just walked right into it. But anyway, great stuff over there. And if you want a session with me, you can contact me at Spirit Therapy with Nicole on Facebook. I also have a Gmail account, Spirit Therapy NYC. I don't check it very often yet, but we're getting a website together, which is very exciting. Oh, that's the last thing I'll say also is we just had this full moon, and it was a super moon, and it was with Cancer, so it was kind of emotional. And now we're moving forward, but it kind of feels like a jump start. Like we're going, like how the train irks into motion, lurks. What is that word? So it's felt a little bizarre. And but just do your best not to get overwhelmed, and use your strengths. If you like to multitask, then by golly, do your multitasking and love every minute of it and train your brain to be a fantastic multitasker. And if you don't like to multitask and you have a tendency to do too much at the same time, well, then that's your superpower. You work on one thing at a time, man, one thing at a time, and get that brain back to where it needs to be. You know, your 9 items away and you're like, okay, but we're still on this one. Bring it back, rein it in. So enjoy yourself above all things, and peace and love to you. And thank you so much for joining me, Gia, and everyone else that has come in, and we'll listen in the archives. Have a wonderful week. Love yourself so you can love the world. Good night.